Protect your dream home with American Family Insurance. And you can weather any storm. You'll also save up to 25% by bundling home, auto, and life. American Family Insurance. Get a quote. Find an agent at amfam.com.
Products not available in every state. Discounts may not apply to all coverages on an auto or home policy. Discounts do not apply to life insurance policies. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating companies, American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Join the Power Trip Morning Show on January 21st for a live Hockey Day Minnesota broadcast from 5:30 to 9 outside Blakeslee Stadium at Minnesota State Mankato. It's all presented by Caribou Coffee. For more information, go to KFAN.com, keyword events.
A-section material for probably the next couple of segments before we prepare for Dr. Dan's inbox. We have a trend that is alarming me. Maybe I will lose my, at least among the righties, my lefty bona fides by suggesting it. But the trend is in a number of U.S. cities, so-called progressive DAs are being elected. And by the way, there are elections. And in many cases, these folks have not, on their way in any way denied the direction they want to go as it pertains to dealing with crime and crime issues. Crime is becoming a larger and larger issue for many people. Violent crime numbers are up in a number of significant cities, some not so much, but some definitely. And part of the trend is related to a belief, an effort to past some historic wrongs here, particularly as it pertains to race when it comes to incarceration, bail, et cetera, et cetera. Those are all noble concepts and things that need to be addressed. The question on the table, if we're being honest, is whether the purported solution is even worse than the problem or is becoming worse than the problem. In New York, a new DA is in charge. His name is Alvin Bragg. And he made news last week by unveiling sort of his game plan regarding who he will prosecute and at what level and who he won't. And the details of it, as I read some of them, I thought I was reading an Onion story. He will not charge defendants for example, for resisting arrest in many cases. And I quote the left-leaning New York Daily News, suggested that while the use of that charge can be abused, taking off the table for punishment, the act of intentionally preventing or attempting to prevent an officer from subduing a suspect could endanger police. No traffic infractions. Not going after any of those. Relatively minor, you could say. Yes. Could be abused. Yes. But the reality is that in going that route, there is a greater likelihood that some of the deadly street racing messes that we've even seen in Minneapolis-St. Paul from time to time might ensue. Dangerous stuff, potentially. Armed robberies of businesses will be charged only as larcenies under this new regime. If a gun-wielding robber robs or gets away with less than $1,000, it becomes a larceny charge, petty larceny charge, a misdemeanor. Felons in possession of a firearm will be charged only with misdemeanor offenses for the equivalent of unlicensed possession. It's an interesting comment I read from somebody online about this sort of disconnect when it comes to guns and gun charges in many cities. We are allergic to the idea of open carry, yet every criminal caught with an illegal gun often faces no or minor consequences. Doesn't add up. We're extremely inconsistent about our concerns as it relates to guns. Drug dealers possessing any amount of drugs and packaging material, but not caught actually delivering the drugs, charged with drug possession, a misdemeanor. Does anybody go to jail under this new regime? Murderers, shooters who cause serious injury. But if you brandish a gun and even shoot it, you got to hurt somebody. If you don't hurt somebody, that, again, a lesser charge might indeed result. If you, in theory, then wave a gun around, maybe you don't even have a bullet in it, but the person on the other end of it, let's say that store clerk doesn't know it, you can complete the robbery, and if you get caught, the charge isn't going to be all that serious again. As long as nobody is seriously injured and there is no genuine risk, I think was the words used, of physical harm. Max sentence for any offense, any, presumably this includes murder, period, across the board, 20 years. He will never ask for life without parole. I quote the New York Daily News, left-leaning again. Why does an elected official, by the way, he does go after elected officials who pilfer from the, take from the public trough. Why does an elected official who pilfers from the public trough get sent away while a man who mugs a half dozen grannies is deemed too trifling for prison? Daily News again. Significant chance some of the reforms will embolden those who commit property and violent crimes in a city where both are on the rise. Where exactly is, how by these policy changes, no matter how noble their intent might be, how do you discourage people who have it in them to decide to rob and to steal and to threaten in doing it? How is this going to discourage them? How is this not going to do anything but embolden them? And what about, like I said, the poor schlub who's working at a Walgreens, at a drugstore, or at a market, that gets cornered by one of these individuals, terrified by the situation, really can't do much about it, obviously, but at least might hope that that individual might be held responsible for it. How do those individuals go back to work with a straight face? Former prosecutor in New York says he's telling the victim, he is in the new DA, you don't deserve protecting from the state. We've already had an example of this story of a knife-wielding man who threatened a drugstore worker with a knife. His armed robbery charge is already downgraded on the basis of this new approach to allegedly making everybody safer. Ends up being a misdemeanor larceny charge. What does the poor worker, the manager who this individual threatened, told cops she feared for her life, didn't want to return to work? Why would you? Why would anybody want to work in that environment? And in many of these stores, the stories are, this stuff is fairly ongoing and fairly constant. What kind of message are you sending? And how is this making a very difficult problem better? How does this solution make the situation better? How does it not do anything but make the situation more dangerous? Let's break, and we've got some examples here locally that we need to get to on that very front, because this trend, we talked about it in San Francisco, where a number of prosecutors, and this is in San Francisco, boys and girls, this is not in the heart of red country. This is not in the heat, you know, the deep south. This is in San Francisco. A number of prosecutors have quit or are frustrated by the revolution that's taking place there very similar to what we're talking about in New York. And they're saying this isn't sustainable. There are too many people being hurt. There is too much of a sense of dread that creeps in to our many of our cities. No matter what the noble intent is of all these changes, that cannot possibly be sustainable in terms of what we're charging, what we're downgrading, and the message that we're sending not only to the crooks, to the individuals who take advantage of these opportunities and double down on their opportunities, but as I said, to the law-abiding individuals of all races who simply want to be able to lead their lives and not have this feeling that not only is this stuff being tolerated, it's almost being encouraged, and it's not going to get better. There are signs in many cases that it's going to get worse. A couple of examples to talk about here locally.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
The Fan's trying to put a grand in your hand with our national cash contest. Head to KFAN.com, enter the keyword happy. That is happy for your shot to win $1,000. Keyword happy on KFAN.com.
Incidentally, apparently the, talking earlier about the new DA in New York City, Alvin Bragg. He, after he got so much pushback from across the political spectrum, we're not going to get anywhere if we immediately turn this into Sharks versus Jets. And I won't take you seriously if that's the direction that you go. We're not going to get anywhere. The reaction across the political spectrum to some of the things that D.A. Bragg has suggested he's going to go, got such went so far that he apparently is backpedaling on a couple of them. Now, how sincerely he's backpedaling, I have absolutely no idea. But again, it's not difficult online to read some of the changes. And I think you can believe that our history includes a pernicious tendency to racially profile. You can believe that and also come to the conclusion that the direction that Bragg is offering up is insanity. It's the definition, quite frankly, of insanity. Bringing everything down basically to a misdemeanor. In the real world sense, to not understand the degree to which this only encourages those who, whatever reasons, whatever has put them in their bad place that they're capable of this sort of behavior, isn't going to feel more emboldened to do it? I think you're insane. I just don't even how you could. I don't know how you could be taken seriously. We've had a couple of examples locally that are getting some attention as well, including one story that our guy Paul Bloom from Fox 9 has been following. Hennepin County Sheriff's Office searching for an 18-year-old inmate who was allowed out of custody for a few hours to attend a family funeral earlier this month, never returned to the jail as ordered. And I don't know if indeed he has been located. Perhaps he has since this story was written. But as is pointed out by Bloom in the piece, the individual has a lengthy juvenile criminal history involving assault and weapons offenses, including being involved in a violent assault and kidnapping case in St. Paul going back to February of 2020. Most of the record is before his 18th birthday. That remains sealed. He was charged in a terrifying attack where he and a group of other teenagers beat up a St. Paul father, stole his wallet and credit cards, and then drove off in the family van with two young children inside. For the defendant, he was subsequently charged as an adult twice for illegally possessing a firearm. In one case, fighting with a Hennepin County deputy who was trying to arrest him. His three-hour release signed by Judge Chu has some questioning that particular decision. Regina Chu, Hennepin County judge in this particular case. This judge's name has come up in another case as well involving a man named Isaiah Jamal Foster. There was some question on the front end of the reporting about his having a different name, but it's Isaiah Jamal Foster, who was allegedly involved in an armed Crocus Hill carjacking. Three teens arrested. He was one of them, along with a 17-year-old boy and a 14-year-old boy. St. Paul woman told police she had been running errands on Grand Avenue Tuesday morning when she noticed a group of people in a nearby car wearing ski masks. That made her uneasy. So she got into her car with a three-year-old child, drove to the Crocus Hill home. After pulling into her garage around 9:30 a.m., she realized a suspicious car had followed her home, pulled up to block her escape. Man with a gun confronted her, demanded her purse and keys. He then got into the car and was trying to drive away while the woman frantically pulled her child from the car seat in the back seat. Deputies investigating the carjacking determined that the suspect's car was stolen and had been used in another robbery in Minneapolis. This individual involved in robbery, assault, car thefts, etc. And indeed, one judge had ordered that releasing Foster would endanger public safety, if indeed he was released. And he was more recently indeed released. And what these stories tell me, they don't necessarily mean the whole system is rotten, but they, I think, nurture the notion here that in a whatever effort, what earnest effort we have to try to even things out and to be a little bit more judicious and a little bit more understanding in terms of a belief that the system we've had used is either not working or unfair, that we are losing the thread. And that in the continuing, as the pendulum swings back and forth between being too strident and being too loose, we're not in a very good place right now. The carjacking numbers aren't lies. They're through the roof. Star Tribune had a story the other day that almost made it sound like it's become a new form of thrill riding or thrills for kids, because the point there is that there's very little, generally they don't end well for the carjackers. There's very little upside in actually doing it, but that almost individuals are doing it for the thrill of it. I would say that trivializes it way too much, no matter what the intent might be. This is serious stuff. Now, if in most cases individuals aren't ever going to be in serious danger, how in the hell do they know that? How can they know that when someone brandishes a weapon or a gun or threatens or whatever the case may be? What do we think's going on here? And I've said this before, I'll say it again. I really fear that until we get to the point where stories like these are trending on social media, the way that bad cops behaving poorly trend, we're not going to deal with this stuff. We're not going to address it. And we've talked many times about people who say, yeah, you're on Twitter too much, Dan. That's not the real world. It's not. But the reality is that the decision makers are on Twitter a lot, sadly enough. People in positions of authority are on it a great deal. And those sorts of stories need to gain our attention, gain their attention to the same level. Doesn't mean you go easy on bad cops. Doesn't mean you don't continue to make some of the changes that have already been made by the outgoing chief in the Minneapolis Police Department as well. Many of them for the better, procedurally speaking. But my fear is, like I said, these stories, and they're starting to gain more attention, I mentioned the stories that Fox 9's been doing, that Paul Bloom has been doing. There's been, I think, more of it. But I think you'd have to be a fool to not understand that part of what is changing, yeah, COVID might be a part of it, but part of what is clearly changing is, I think, a sense that it's going to be easier to push this envelope and to get in this environment to get away with this sort of stuff. And quite frankly, on the basis of the policies that are in place in many major American cities, San Francisco, New York, here maybe not to the same degree, but to some degree, that's come up by a number of law enforcement associations. They've made that claim. You can agree with it or disagree with it. But all of that is contributing to a sense that it's a little bit more of a wild, wild west feel to it. And again, often the individuals who get hurt the most are the ones that allegedly are being protected by these changes, especially from a race standpoint. We've quoted the stats over and over again, the number of polls that have indicated that in most communities that are largely of color, there is not, I believe, a desire for less police. There is actually a desire for greater police presence. Obviously, they want cops who are fair, but greater police presence. And so in the end, you put all this together from New York to San Francisco, which we've talked about several times. Some of the examples we've laid out there and again, think for a minute of the circumstance for, let's say, in New York, where all these changes certainly are being made, or San Francisco. You're working, you're just minding your own business. You're probably a kid working in a department store or a drugstore, and somebody comes in, as was the case in New York, brandishing a knife, threatening you with a knife, coming back twice in this case to get more stuff. Who's protecting you? Who is standing up for you? Because that can't be a very comforting position to be in. And not only does the individual do it, the individual, as long as no one is actually hurt, and as long as a certain price hasn't been exceeded or amount of money hasn't been exceeded, it's going to end up with a misdemeanor. No big deal. It's not I don't think it's a very comforting message. And we've talked about uncomfortable conversations we need to have about lots of things. This is one I think we got to have a lot more of across the board. We'll come back and we'll lighten it up. We'll go to Dr. Dan's inbox. Guardsy, still at home. Fan.
Join Corey Cove and Pat Micheletti this Friday night for Coors Light Hockey Night at Clive's Roadhouse in Champlin from 7 to 9. I'll be watching Minnesota take on Anaheim, playing hockey trivia, and registering to win luxury suite tickets. Go to KFAN.com, keyword hockey.
Real quick before we get to the inbox and Guardsy, what I'm asking for, what we talked about the last two segments, is not profiling, but holding individuals who are committing crimes accountable and responsible for them. Not pretending that, well, he had a gun, but was anybody in real danger? What kind of absurdity is that? How is that sustainable? Those are the examples that we attempted to explore and to come up with here. We still have, apparently, the individual who got out for a funeral for 3 hours. Makes absolutely no sense to me on the basis of what he'd been convicted of and charged of previously. He still has not been found. And by the way, for all we know, there are a number of cases where judges do this routinely and the individual comes right back. Possible. I don't know. Others will have to tell me on that. But it was a very concerning on the basis of what that particular record was. Why an individual in that situation would have any ability, any freedom to do exactly, to go to a funeral or go any place away from incarceration. Guardsy, are you with us?
I'm here, yeah. I'm looking forward. I feel okay.
I feel like sound this a little more nasal.
I know, yeah. Feeling a little nasally today here, yeah. But I think that could also be the yelling at the children, like I said yesterday. So it's a combination of both. But I think I'm doing all right.
Ooh, well, I don't know. You sound. I'm starting to get a little concerned about you.
You think it's over?
Well, no, it's not completely over, I don't think.
Probably not. Probably not. I'm looking forward, though, to you reading the Bradshaw and Brian inbox while I'm doing Dr. Dan's inbox this time.
I think you're going to be okay because I actually shut it down.
That's smart. Because
I think you got to understand. Well, they're already mad at me early. They're mad at me early about the new Timberwolves position. Which is
player experience.
Yes, the chief experience officer.
Yeah,
which I might have had some fun with.
Yeah,
and so they're I'm getting at it. The Sharks are mad at me. The Jets are mad at me. Wolves fans are mad at me. The kids are very mad at me because the kids apparently are aroused by the chief experience officer.
It's new agey.
They don't understand. See, I think they're even younger than you because I don't even think you're bought off that easily.
No, I mean, my position is always like, all right, I guess if that's what we think we need, and maybe we do, I don't know. Maybe that's how everybody does it now. It sounds like they do. So it's mostly just to me not worth the fight anymore. I've just given up. Just given it all to the kids and said, do whatever you want, whatever makes you feel good, because we all have to feel good all the time. That's the way it is now. Yeah. No one can ever feel bad. I'm wondering who's in charge of the fan experience. Do we have a fan experience manager or anything like that besides Jeff Unicki?
Lord knows what
who does a great job.
Well, I thought you meant Cafe N experience.
Oh, no.
You mean the actual Timberwolves fan experience.
I mean, as someone, I'm looking at it. I'm down here in my little home office / guest room / storage room, and I'm just looking at pictures of young Guardsy and his Timberwolves Breakfast Club stuff. I'm like, who's looking out for that guy? Yeah. Who's looking out for the 7-year-old? You know, my experience since 1989. That's who I'm concerned with.
That seems fair. I'm sure they have an answer. I'm sure that they probably have somebody in charge of that already. But in any case, how's the list? Are we in good shape for the inbox?
Yeah, I think we're ready to go.
Let's do it.
It's time for Dr. Dan's inbox.
Letters. Oh, we get letters. We get your letters every day.
Brought to you as always by Wedding Day Diamonds. Thank you, Wedding Day Diamonds. Every Thursday at 4:30, we open Dr. Dan's inbox. Dear Dr. Dan, first of all, I want to thank everyone for coming here. Secondly, my brothers and I have an important hiring decision without R. Spielman's help for the first time. I know you used to be close with a guy named N. Teague. Possible you could put in a good word with him with those super slick Villa 7 connections, and maybe we can get our next general manager and coach, Z. Wilf.
Interesting, because is in the pro football hierarchy, is there a version of the Villa 7, you know, like an academy where they give you these various lists? Does that exist in pro football? I don't even know. It's a good question. We had a nice conversation, Dr. Dan did, with Sean Salisbury, and we talked more about the coaching job than the GM job. But he is firmly in the group, and I am too, that believes you hire the general manager or president of football operations, whatever fancy title you have, first. You do that ahead of time, and no matter how antsy you get, you don't deviate. Now, did you see the list of individuals with whom we've requested interviews?
I did. I was going to bring that up in top five.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll mention a couple of names, including Catherine. Is it pronounced Raiche? R-A-I-C-H-E. She is the Eagles vice president.
Eagles VP of football operations.
Operations, which I think intrigues some people. Then there's a couple of local angles, etc. Is it not fair to say that when it comes to the GM thing, Dr. Dan and you and me, everybody, we're just going to be making it up as we go along if it ends up being a name that we know so little about like that, right? I mean, that doesn't necessarily mean it can't be a great hire. That's the beauty of it. But we're not going to have any bleeping clue, and we're going to pretend that we do.
100%. Yeah. And it's going to be... You're going to get the this person was instrumental in salary cap for say the Eagles, or they were the one that drafted so and so. They were the one, like, that's all it's going to be, and we're just going to have to take all their words for it, because how the hell are we going to have any idea?
No, we're not going
to. It's not our job to know that, right?
No, we're not. I do agree that you gotta, though, as Salisbury said, if you want to do a GM coach in that order, you got to get on it, and it sounds like they are. You can't really delay. You got to get on the thing. Doesn't mean you have to hire the person tomorrow, but it means you got to hit the sweet spot pretty quick. And I'll give you a good example of where I think the average Rube can relate to this. Have you ever been in a department store or a clothing store? I'll broaden it out. Or even getting you're shopping for your Christmas tree.
Mm-hmm.
And you spot a tree that you think you like, but you're not quite sure. Somebody else walks by and stops and stares at that tree, brings his family over, and they all love the tree. And then suddenly you say, God dang it, that's the tree. I knew it. I got to have that tree. And it's the same with this. We did this, the Vikings, when it was Brad Childress was the shiny new penny that everybody wanted, and we wouldn't let him get on that plane to Green Bay because we were afraid we were going to lose him if he did, and it didn't work out all of that well. So that's the trap you fall into, is you can't rush just because you think somebody else has somebody you like. You got to be sure that you like them, not because someone else likes them, but because you are convinced after doing your due diligence, this is the guy. That's what made Jerry West great. On draft picks, on hires, Jerry West didn't give a bleep what the conventional wisdom was. He didn't even care if other people say, are you kidding me? Is Jerry West an idiot? It's Jerry West. He said, fine. I don't care what everybody else thinks. I know. And that's what you're looking for. I don't know that we have a Jerry West here to help us guide through it, but that's the objective. That's the sweet spot.
And I could localize it even more, you know, because I'm in quarantine with my three children.
Yes.
My boys only want to play with the toys that the other one is playing with. They have no interest in the toy until they see their brother or sister playing with. And then suddenly they want to turn, and they're bitter that they didn't get a turn, even though it was just sitting there for the last 12 hours and they wanted nothing to do with it. That's what I'm dealing with.
It's I think it's probably human psychology 101, and we have to rise above it enough to make the quote unquote right hire.
It's time for Dr. Dan's inbox.
Letters. Oh, we get letters. We get your letters every day.
Dear Dr. Dan, do you believe time heals all wounds? I mean, I've been getting a lot of love by some of the local media in this town this week, even though in my past I've been fired by the one and only Al Davis. I left Tennessee after only 1 year. I was fired on the tarmac in Southern Cal. I couldn't last with the living legend Nick Saban, and yet I'm rumored to be in consideration for the Vikings head coaching position. Did I mention I actually had a punter once remove his jersey during the game to then give it to our backup quarterback so we could execute a fake play? This did actually happen in 2012, by the way. Why does Minnesota love me so much? Did Kay Cousins ask the Vikings to bring me in? Sincerely, L. Kiffin.
I forgot to mention to G. Mason in studio yesterday that there are L. Kiffin rumors. I mean, how many segments later would we have been done? I mean, that would have been two segments for him. Would it not? At minimum, maybe more. Might have been the whole hour. L. Kiffin, you'd love him, apparently. You're excited because he went to high school here. He's one of us, and he's a maverick.
Jefferson, baby.
You love the maverick in him. You love the story making that he would inspire without any question. I would be very afraid if we end up with L. Kiffin. Very. Now, if we had, you know, the Kiffin lineage is good. I get that. But and he's succeeding in college again, correct?
He is at Ole Miss. They played in the New Year's Six Bowl this year. So he's doing all right.
I'm not taking that leap. I'm sorry. If it means potentially I'm missing out on one of those bold Jerry West-like hires, I'll sit out on that one. I don't want to get near L.
Well, how
Kiffin.
About this? Okay. Did Lane Kiffin already make the first move to get to the Vikings head coach? Did you see the Lane Kiffin news from about an hour and a half ago?
No.
He's bringing in his younger brother, Chris, to join the Rebel staff as co-defensive coordinator. He would fit in perfectly here, would he not?
No doubt about
nepotism.
That.
I mean, he's already hired his brother, because I looked at it when I first said that. I go, I guess he's probably staying at Ole Miss. And then I said, or is he? As he already talked to the Wilfs, and they have no problem bringing in as many family members as you want to bring in.
Clearly.
And so the Lane train is already a couple of stops ahead on this whole thing. He's already putting his band together.
And the brother's name is Chris. That's Chris Kiffin, you said?
Chris Kiffin.
How old is Chris?
Linebackers.
Is he an adult yet, or is he still in, like, high school?
Let me see if his age is there. I don't know if I have Chris Kiffin.
Okay.
I don't have it. How about this? Earlier, Kiffin hired Charlie Weiss Jr. from South Florida to be offensive coordinator. See? I'm not making this up.
I believe it.
He's already putting his Viking staff together, and he's doing it in Mississippi.
That's
just ridiculous.
That's just too good. Well, were you working today? Probably not on the odds. when Larry Mondello guy wrote in that the problem, in turn, if indeed they follow our desire for low BMI and low age.
Oh, we got one on that.
Young age. That it won't work here because if the head coach you hire is 33, the kid, his own son that he'd have to or want to hire might be, you know, tempted to hire might be like eight years old.
That'd be a problem.
That'd be a bit of a problem. Probably. Yeah, exactly.
That's good. That's good thinking by Larry Mondello guy.
Keep it going.
It's time for Dr. Dan's Inbox.
Howdy, Dr. Dan. I heard y'all have a general manager opening up there. I was thinking about throwing my hat in the ring, so wanted to get your thoughts. I might not be a traditional candidate, but I know a thing or two about playing ball, winning ball, and analyze players, and I think I've been pretty darn good at all three. I also have no problems dealing with egos, as I've worked with one of the biggest in the business the last decade. I also happen to have a very impressive BMI, which I hear is important. What do you think, Dr. Dan? Could this old cowboy wrangle up a competitive team, T. Aikman?
For a while, I thought it was going to be T. Brewster.
Could have been.
T. Aikman? Yeah, why not?
T. Aikman. I thought it was going to be T. Romo. That's what I thought.
That's true, too.
T. Romo has a very good BMI as well.
Does he have a good BMI? Yeah, he probably does. Yeah, he probably does.
Yeah, he's in pretty good shape.
Who's got a better BMI, T. Aikman or T. Romo?
I bet T. Aikman, I think. I think T. Romo.
Yeah, you might be right. You think he might be getting a little doughy?
I don't think it's that. I think T. Aikman cares more about that. So I think he works out a little harder than T. Romo. I don't want to sell T. Romo short. He's a great golfer, right? He plays golf a lot. I'm not sure.
He does. Keep it going.
It's time for Dr. Dan's Inbox.
Letters. Oh, we get letters. We get your letters.
S. Salisbury?
Yeah.
Says he hopes that the Vikings would give P. Manning a call, but he's convinced actually P. Manning wants to own or will eventually have part ownership in the Denver Broncos. So that would be one of those pipe dreams where it probably would not go anywhere. In any case, I digress.
Dear Dr. Dan, I heard you were talking about me earlier in the show. My wife said there are a few former Vikings quarterbacks who don't think I have what it takes to be a Super Bowl-winning quarterback. I don't remember who. There have been so many of them, they get pretty forgettable after a while. Last time I checked, not many have had that much success. But hey, they have every right to rip me, and it sounds like I fit right in. Also, any ideas who my next offensive coordinator is going to be? I can't wait to learn another playbook. What is this, like my fifth or sixth here in Minnesota? Okay, take care, Dr. Dan. K. Cousins.
So, God, that's a really good one.
That's a good letter.
It's an outstanding letter, and it inspires me into wondering if the real K. Cousins ever spoke that freely, I think I'd like him. You know what I'm saying? If he would speak that politically incorrectly, to basically go off on everybody and say, yeah, how many coordinators do you want here? How many quarterbacks have done the job? Really? You want somebody else? Okay. Yeah, I think he might like him more.
That's why I'm Kirk Cousins.
But
that's why I'm on him.
Yeah. I don't think that he is capable of going off script, no different than when he's on the field, unfortunately. You know, we were talking with S. Salisbury about Cousins, and I was quoting some stuff from Sage Rosenfels. And you're not obligated to agree with any of these guys, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But the one gripe Dr. Dan continues to have, and it's one we've discussed from time to time over the years, is the people who want to counter, who want to rip, let's say, S. Rosenfels for his opinion, don't do it on the basis of the opinion, but they do it on the basis of, well, who are you? What'd you
his
do?
His career.
What'd you
I know,
do?
It's stupid.
It's
stupid.
Moronic. If you want to rip him on the merits of what he says, you can have that argument, I think, very fairly and say, sorry, Rosenfels, I think you're villainizing him too much. But that stupid argument that is really not addressing the argument about you were never as good as he was. How could you even open your mouth about this? It's just dumb. And I guess it just makes people feel better because they don't want to consider, otherwise they got to consider the possibility that he might have a point.
That he's right.
That if he's not right, he at least has some things to indeed think about.
It's time for Dr. Dan's Inbox.
Letters. Oh, we get letters. Are you proud of me? I haven't even looked at the inbox.
I am proud of you. And this is a good one.
Okay.
Dear Dr. Dan, Chief Experience Officer, really? What's going on with those yuppies at T-Center? It seems like the most scintillating experience the Wolves offered up from a management perspective were those that G. Rosas personally engaged in with fellow employees. Remember when I asked what the basic goals were for this team and Jay Spurgeon quipped hard work and having fun? Remember what my response was, Dr. Dan? F that. It's about winning. Rename the position CRO, Chief Relevance Officer, and get back to me. B. Guerin.
That's a good one, too.
Think Bill Guerin's lining up to tell Leopold they need a chief experience officer?
Well, one of the reasons I got ripped was that they claim that title, and it's technically, I guess, called a CXO because CEO is, you know, a different position, is that businesses all over, in every business, these things are done. I have no idea how many of them are done in the NBA, but I just, when it fits the profile of a franchise that is way too consumed with catchy stuff, with the glitz and glamour of proclaiming this and proclaiming that, it bugs me because we've been down the road too many times before, and if that penalizes these guys, I'm sorry. I'm more interested in, because I even said, if the whole objective is our reputation compared to some other teams is, when it comes to support people, helping families of players, they don't do much. They're kind of cheap. There's not much, you know, and you could say, well, it's absurd given the amount of money they make that you have to do anything, but you know, and I know, and this is me being modern. This is part of it.
Yep.
If that's what you're competing against, given that we are in a cold weather climb, I'm all for it. But I would just say, just go about the business very quietly of doing those things with a couple people you already have or without the fancy title that's supposed to get everybody aroused. Just do it. Rather than proclaim it. This is an organization that does too much proclaiming. And the irony here is there's some signs that things in terms of the basketball are heading in a better direction, right? There are.
Yes.
Basically, you can, I think, with a straight face say right now, we're kind of a 500 team. We've been that way for a while. That's not great, but it's a hell of a lot better than we've been if that's sort of the baseline. And let's see where this thing can go from there. That's what the whole thing should be about, not these proclamations and patting ourselves on the back about this experience and that experience. It's just, I wish the kids could see through it, but like you say, I think they've been conditioned to be dazzled by this nonsense.
They love it.
Yeah.
You know, David Kahn was the first one to talk about experience. I remember when he very boldly said, we're serving breakfast to our players now. That's
remember
not
that?
Something that we did before.
That's
I do,
true.
Yeah. I mean, so the Meerkat was doing this stuff.
Meerkat was ahead of his time.
Yeah. That's why we never appreciated him.
Yeah. And in the end, as you know, the thing that will enhance the experience of any player more than any is a belief that if you join this team, you'll be playing for something. That more than anything, you know, you got to pay them. But beyond that, that will enhance the experience and encourage the notion that this isn't a hellhole. This isn't purgatory. As cold as it gets, this is a place where you can actually feel like you are a part of the Western Conference.
It's time for Dr. Dan's Inbox.
Letters. Oh, we get letters. We get your letters every day.
Dear Dr. Dan, we need your help. We're worried about Dad. We've been stuck in the house with COVID for several days. He is not handling it well at all. I think him having to miss all his jobs is really getting to him. Yesterday, we found him doing play-by-play of videotaped games from 1997. Then today, we found him interviewing our sister's stuffed animals. It got really bad when he ran out of beer and tried calling a brewery in Omaha to see if they did any home deliveries. Is there anything you can do to help? Maybe just give him a project so he thinks he's working. We're scared, Dr. Dan, J-Guard, and G-Guard.
Well,
We got a lot from my kids, by the way, today.
I'm sure.
That's like one of like six from my children that came to Dr. Dan's inbox.
That's outstanding. Well, I think we all were concerned about it because as you've added jobs, it has made your schedule even busier, and your schedule largely cannot be done sitting at home. And right. So I immediately thought, well, you know, he's not used to that. He's really, really not used to that. Even more than some of the rest of us who, you know, don't have as many jobs as you. And I once had more than one, but I've never had as many as you have now. And so we were all concerned about how this might affect your mental health. The idea that there was no way for you to get away. Although I assume you could still take a walk, right? I mean, you could get out of the house to take a walk, correct?
Yeah, we can do that.
Although it's kind of chilly.
I actually do. It's not that I'm not used to being home. It's my kids, I don't think, are used to being this home. My daddy's rules are a little bit different.
Well, you're the disciplinarian, right? I mean, let's face it. When mom's in charge, they run the roost.
You said it, not me.
And as
I did
a result,
not say that.
Reality is setting in, and so they're saying, can't dad go back? Why is dad living? But can it forget the 10-day thing? Forget the 5-day thing. Can't it be a 48-hour turnaround for a positive test for dad?
I think I heard Jackson on the phone with the big knocker, asking that same question. When can he go back to work? Yeah, probably so I think it's affecting them more than it's affecting me.
That's it. It was a good set. Good letters.
Very good inbox. So people showed up.
Your plan is to join for predictions tomorrow. Is that correct?
Yeah, I can do that.
Okay, well, I'm just asking. Yeah. I never know. I can't. I'm not sure.
Love to.
And then when do you have to go get another test? When's that got to be?
I don't know. I don't know if I technically have to. I think I will this weekend just to be safe. Sure before I come back in. Yeah, okay. I think I can come back in on Monday.
All right.
I think there's some mask protocols I have to follow after it, but I think my day 5 would be on Monday, so I think I'm good to go.
All right. Well, we won't hold our breath, but we'll certainly hope that you'll be back on that occasion. We
did get one to the inbox wondering who is responsible for my paid leave. Which of my jobs is responsible for my paid leave? And I think it's iHeartMedia. I think it's the fan. So appreciate everybody there.
We'll talk for predict. Are we going to do every playoff game? Because there's a bunch.
Might as well.
Yeah,
why not?
We should do them all. Yeah, we'll do them all tomorrow.
Let's go big
at 3:30.
Right,
thank
done.
You. We'll talk then.
All right,
Guardsy from home yet again. We have the knocker coming up in the 5 o'clock hour. We're going to have a mini top 5 at 5. What are we going to cover?
Yeah, we'll check in with all of our teams and we'll maybe even talk about the NFL coaching carousel outside of Minnesota.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.